got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing, I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love?
Good morning, Rotobonners. What's happening? Pete Davidson here with a bonus podcast on a Wednesday. Recording this early, should be up hopefully by about 11 a.m. on the East Coast. Sinatra bringing us in with some positive music. You know, I was thinking about it. So much of what I do, especially early in the season, is sort of triage for the wounded. And, you know, sometimes I forget a lot of us are kicking ass. Most of my teams really are in good shape. I've got one team that I'm a little worried about. It's got out of the box a little slow. It's a super flex with short benches. I'm a little flummoxed. But apart from that, all my teams are in pretty good shape. And I would say in probably about 60 or 70% of my leagues, I'm in a position to start looking at, you know, top-down trades. Got the world on a string. So, you know, I think sometimes when we get into buy low, sell high and all that stuff, this is going to be more of a buy low pod. You know, we sort of forget that this is something that you want to think about when things are going well for you, when you can look at the world from a top view, when you can sort of think top down in trades, when you can afford to say, well, I don't care if this hurts me this week or even next week. I like this for down the line because I know I'm going to be there down the line. Or you may be selling to somebody who's afraid of a buy window that's about to hit them and they're 0-2. Or next week, maybe they're 1-2, 0-3. It's important. We talk about this in August. I talked about, hey, Dalvin Cook, let's focus on Dalvin Cook. Help us get out of the box early. Now that's ended up, I mean, look, I'm not trying to brag. There's calls I made that aren't working out as well. But for those of us who did do the Dalvin thing, we are in pretty good position right now. At least most Dalvin teams are. So this is a time we can look to take advantage of the people who are Joe Mixon teams, that kind of thing. And you know what? Let's start with Mixon, who I think is going to be on a lot of buy low articles, shows, whatever you want to say it. He's not on mine. I'm not going to be buying Joe Mixon right now. And I'm not saying I'm not buying Mixon at all. But quite frankly, I feel like the window is going to get better for us. And I'd rather see him avoid injury. And obviously, he's a little dinged up right now. But I'd rather see him healthy for me later in the season before I go buying really what is like a one-game thing. I love his playoff matchups, and I specifically like his bowl week matchup. Now, you don't make trades early in the season for a bowl week matchup. You do that if you are, 8-1, 9-1 at the deadline, that kind of thing. 10-1, 9-2, whatever, depending on when your deadline is. So Mixon right now for me, you can make a good argument that he's a big talent who's doing nothing, and it's not all his fault. The problem is the offensive line isn't getting better in this season, and the schedule is just nasty. So for me, Mixon's going to be bad returns on so many weeks, plus he's a guy who's an injury risk, not going to be a buy low, even though he's sort of screaming buy low right now. The guys who I do sort of like buying right now, Justice Hill is one, because he is a guy who's going to be a little up and down. It's early in his career. They've been in good game scripts. It's not like they're making a point to show him to teams. I think the Justice Hill explosion is still coming. He can be had for free on a lot of waiver wires. And in deeper leagues, if the person who's got him is in a panic, I would get him as a throw-in on the cheap. Sony Michel. Now, this is a tougher one. I know he hasn't looked great. I have not yet seen week two Sony. But listen, unless they go to Harris, which leads me to a secondary point. Unless they go to Harris, I think Sony's going to be just fine. I think the Patriot game scripts are going to be phenomenal. And I think he's going to have a lot of touchdowns. So I think he's a good buy low right now. And I think the really ninja thing, if you can swing it, is to get Damian Harris off the waiver wire after you pull the deal. One of these guys is scoring a lot of touchdowns. I just don't see any way around it. Now, price is always a consideration. I'm not saying you should go pay the equivalent of a fourth round draft pick for Sony Michel in redraft leagues. No, he should be cheaper now. So, you know, if you can buy low on Sony Michel, buy low. And that's, you know, let's make that as a blanket qualifier statement for this entire podcast. This is a buy low podcast. If the guy isn't being sold at a discount, move on, you know. It's basic, but let's just get that out there. Rashad Penny's the next guy on the list. Now, I am not a big Rashad Penny booster, as some of you know. I think he's got holes in his game, and I think, you know, they're readily apparent. But Carson has made some mistakes. I do have concerns about Carson long-term staying healthy, especially if they're going to be giving him a lot of work on a weekly basis. And look, as much as Rashad Penny has some stuff that's not great on film, particularly pass pro and, you know, routes, I think are probably the two main things where I want to see him being more consistent. I want to see him working as hard on his routes and his pass pro as he does when he's carrying the ball. He doesn't lack effort when he's carrying the football. But here's the thing on Penny. If you go look at every carry he's made this year, and I've done it, man, this guy looks good. He's a lot to handle in the hole. He can break arm tackles, and his touchdown last week was gorgeous. I mean, he absolutely created that space himself with that inside fake, and then he headed for the cone. It was a beautiful run. I was impressed, and you know, that's not, you know, a jag play. That's not just some guy. That's, you know, that's a guy who can run the football. So this guy is built stocky. He's low to the ground. He sort of looks like CJ Anderson, but he doesn't run like CJ Anderson. He runs with more burst and power. So for me right now, you know, and I know he scored a touchdown, so maybe that's going to kill the opportunity here. But as long as Carson, I think, has got that gig and there's not a lot of controversy around him, I think Penny can be head on the low. And if you can get him as a throw-in in a deal, I think it could have a really big payoff in the second half of the season. Melvin Gordon's another one to discuss just because we see how good that offense is. Hopefully Melvin wakes up at some point. And he is the best back in that backfield. So nothing against Eckler, who's an excellent back for as long as he lasts. But I think Melvin Gordon right now, the people who draft him are probably hurting. Again, if you can get him for something that doesn't hurt you, it makes sense. So buy low again. Duke Johnson sort of looks like he fell behind Carlos Hyde. I think that's more game script than anything else. I also think as the season progresses, Duke is going to become the more favored player because he can do more things. And they need to find ways to take pressure off of their quarterback. And, you know, it's one thing to sit there and run, but you don't have a threat of really much else when Hyde's in the game. They want their running back to be multiple. It takes stress off the quarterback, and I think as the season progresses, we're going to see Duke Johnson become the favored player. I'm not talking about Duke getting an 80-20 share, but I think, you know, 60-40, 70-80 is definitely possible, if not probable. Damian Williams next on the buy low. Why is he a buy low? Well, because he hasn't really gone off. But he's looked really good. Now, I know he's dinged up right now. That's another reason he may be available on the cheap. Now, don't go selling out to get Damian Williams. We want to get him cheap for like the equivalent of like a fifth-round draft pick or something like that. If we can do that, I like it. The more I watch this team, the more I'm seeing them going out of their way to get this guy matchups in the second level as a receiver. You see the delayed vertical routes out of the backfield, similar to the one we saw Marquise Goodwin run last week for the 49ers. These are dangerous routes when you get speed guys on them, all right? And especially when you've got a smart quarterback with a cannon. So when they get the matchup, when they actually get Williams on the guy they want, Mahomes is on that shit, man. And he makes some ungodly throws. And the thing I want people to understand with Damian Williams, he is not a perfect player, as we mentioned. But when you get him out, you know, in the slot receiver range, in the intermediate route range, he's a special running back. There are not a lot of running backs who can do the things Damian Williams does downfield. He's got really good hands and hips. He tracks the ball really well. You know, he's sort of like a poor man's David Johnson. And the thing is, he's in an offense that really takes advantage of the skill set. Man, I mean, if you had David Johnson in this Chiefs offense, Oh, man, I'm telling you, we'd be seeing things on a weekly basis that would make our heads spin. And we are going to see these things with Damian Williams. Now, is he going to give us enough supplemental rushing production to make him a weekly, you know, fringe RB1 or a really solid weekly RB2? I don't know. That's like a 50-50 shot. A lot of it will have to do with the other running backs performing and, you know, LeSean McCoy being healthy. I do think both McCoy and Williams are going to produce more rushing numbers than we've seen the first 2 weeks. I think it's just, you know, they just haven't clicked on a lot of running plays. It's not the running backs as much as the line itself. They just haven't opened up a lot of big holes. That's going to change. The more Mahomes keeps destroying people downfield, the easier it's going to be to run between the tackles. So I think Damian Williams is a buy if you can get him at a discount from an owner who's worried about all this other production going on in Kansas City. Alvin Kamara. Couple things on Kamara. First of all, and this goes not just for this week, but maybe for next week as well, and obviously the following week, maybe the week after that. Kamara is, it's unlikely that he is going to be, you know, posting numbers at his usual level. And if you are a team that's gotten out in front 2-0, maybe next week 3-0, maybe 3-1 or 4-0 after that, you get into these windows. Kamara starts looking like a really savvy purchase. If you can get him off of the team that's looking at their own mortality for the season, they're sitting there going, wow, I might not be able to get out of this hole with Kamara. At some point, they're going to be willing to move him. It's redraft. It's not dynasty. So you want to be there. You want to be on that owner now with offers, letting them know that you really want to talk, that you're willing to give up something significant. Because if you can get Kamara and you're a team that's going to make the playoffs, means you're already good. It means you already have a lot going for you. And you can have Kamara ready to explode when Breeze comes back, which is going to be around week probably 10, 11, 12. Certainly he's going to be there for the playoffs. Now you become an elite team that added Kamara. I love it if you can find the right way to do it. If you get yourself into this type of deal and you want a second opinion, by all means, hit me up on Twitter. Throw me the trade. Throw me your roster. I'll tell you what I think. But I think Kamara can be a really savvy play for some owners if you're in that right situation. Now, if you're a 1-2 team, I mean, you could go after Kamara in the right situation, but it needs to be a deal where you feel like you can pull yourself out of the hole. Now, that's a much tougher nut to crack than if you're already, again, on top of the world, being able to do top-down deals. Kamara just makes so much sense for a team that feels like they're a playoff team already. So obviously you need some assets. You need to have enough to do it where you don't want to add Kamara and then tank your season and not make the playoffs. So you need to sort of know what you're doing, and you need to know that you have a good team and you need to be in a good spot. But look, I mean, I've got, you know, probably 40% of my teams right now could do a deal like this. And I will be talking to some Kamara teams. Another team that I'm going to be talking to are the Leonard Fournette teams in my leagues. Now, I know Fournette has been unexciting. He's got a QB downgrade that he's dealing with. You know, I don't want to sell the farm to get Leonard Fournette, but I think his matchups upcoming are getting a little bit better, save for New Orleans week 6, but New Orleans is now a little bit of a damaged team. So there really aren't any, you know, scary matchups coming up for him. His playoff matchups are choice, Oakland and Atlanta. So really, Fournette's a guy where, as long as he stays healthy, I think this is a great time to go land him at a discount. Again, discount. Don't go sell your team to get Leonard Fournette. But if the Fournette owner is 0-2 and nervous, you may be able to swoop in and grab him. Excuse me there. Losing my voice a little bit. Moving over to receivers, I think Curtis Samuel is a little bit obvious. But given that he had a bad week one, didn't really light it up in week two, although the air yards are certainly there. Now he's got this QB downgrade that people are probably worried about. I don't know that a QB downgrade really hurts the receivers on this team. In some ways, it could even help them. Newton is going through an inaccurate phase. He's not really bringing much to the table with his feet. So I don't know that Newton not being there is really going to be that big of a problem, as long as it's a 1 or a 2 week thing. Quite frankly, Cam could probably use a week to get his head together, in my opinion. I think Curtis Samuel is an excellent buy low if he's being sold low. Again, simply because his ceiling is so high. Moving over to the Rams, Woods and Cooks. Neither one of them has gone off yet. They will. Nothing to worry about. If the team that owns Woods or Cooks is 0-2 in your league and they've got a little bit of a nervous trigger finger or whatever, Go in and see what the price is. I think those guys are holding steady at the you know, in that early fourth round value that they've always had. Davante Adams, Valdez Scantling, Geronimo Allison. I think in my opinion, the Packers are getting their act together. It's going to get better. And I think this is a really good time to swoop in and check the prices on all of Aaron Rodgers' receivers, not named Jimmy Graham. I think on the Jets, Robbie Anderson's a guy to target. He's going to start making plays very soon. The Jets' schedule lightens up very nicely over the second half. Teams are going to be willing to sell right now if they're in trouble, because the Jets have a quarterback problem that's not going to be solved until week five. So if you can afford to pay for Robbie Anderson and wait, and by the way, you can start him now. You can start him with the backup quarterback. It's not the end of the world. But once the Jets get to the second half of the season with Darnold in there and they hit this good part of the schedule, Robbie Anderson is going to be a second receiver for fantasy. You can pretty much put that in ink as far as I'm concerned. Love going and getting him now, next week, maybe the week after. I've heard people talk about cutting him at this point. So he may be available for a song, and he is a guy who is absolutely not some kind of roster clogger. This is a guy who can make a big impact for you once the lay of the land changes for the Jets. Stephon Diggs, similar to Robbie Anderson, actually. I do think the targets ultimately are going to be there because he's the best receiver on the team. Nothing against Thielen, but Diggs is on another level when it comes to separating. If for some reason the Diggs owner in your league is feeling skittish, I would go in and get Diggs now. That goes in all leagues, including Dynasty. Mike Evans, this one's so obvious I shouldn't even have to say it, but if the Evans owner is 0-2, if he's the kind of person who will make a snap trade, you need to be talking to this person right now. Mike Evans is going to come back strong. Corey Davis, I don't expect him to come out of his funk this week, but I think starting next week, he's a guy who could really come on strong, and he's basically a guy you can get for almost nothing right now. I like that. Dante Pettis, very similar. You don't want to pay much for him, but if you can get him as a throw-in, I love it. Anthony Miller, same kind of thing. I think eventually he becomes a really nice PPR player. He's coming off an injury. He's on an offense that needs to find itself right now. When they do, I think he'll be a big part of that finding, if you will. So I think Anthony Miller, getting him right now in full PPR leagues on the dirt cheap, is a pretty damn good move. Okay, going to go through some tight ends and quarterbacks, and I wanted to get you out of here in 30 minutes. And I think we're going to do it. So, as far as buy low tight ends, nothing too crazy exciting. I mean, there really are a couple. Now, one of them is going to take, it's going to take some stones. We'll get to that in a second. George Kittle hasn't really done a whole lot yet. And I've watched both of those games. He looks phenomenal. There's nothing wrong with George Kittle. Right now, they're going away from him a lot. Going to the open man. So I think things will tighten up a bit on the other side of the field, and Kittle will end up getting his. They set plays up really well. So I'm not too worried about Kittle. I think he's an excellent buy low right now if for some reason the Kittle team is selling in your league. I think David Njoku is also a pretty good buy low. I think he's actually looked pretty good out there. I mean, he's always going to be a little clunky. He's not a technician. He's an explosion machine. And right now, when you look at Beckham, he's going to be drawing a lot of tilt, I think, in the coming weeks. They've got a way to balance the field with Chubb, obviously a mobile quarterback. To me, Njoku, he's going to have to be bad to not make plays. Right now, he's got the concussion thing going on. I saw that play. It did not look like a concussion that's going to last multiple weeks to me. I think Njoku right now, at a position where finding good ones is not easy, I think David Njoku is a good buy low, personally. And now to the big one. Okay. This one you're going to go, no, I'm not doing it. Forget it. But O.J. Howard, he's really, he's like pin high when it comes to a buy low target. What do you want? You want a mega talent, which he is, who's not producing at all. He's not. So you really don't get a better situation. And the better a buy low is, the harder it is to warm up to. Like, that's the nature of what we're doing here. So the reason you can get him cheap is the reason you're sitting there going, I don't want him. So the trick with buy-lowing a guy like O.J. Howard is you don't want to put yourself in a situation where this could kill you. So you don't trade your tight end to get O.J. Howard. You have to go to it. You have to look at the team that's got him. Do they have a solid B option? If they do, and you think they're about to bench O.J. Howard, see if there's a way to get him on the cheap. Because 2 weeks from now, we might all be going, oh my God, O.J. Howard, look at this guy. Because Arians has a way of figuring things out. Now, am I nervous that this tight end history of Arians might actually be affecting O.J. Howard? Yeah, I am. And this is not clean. I think the reason he's a buy low is because we may have a problem here. But the other side of the coin is this team is struggling a little bit. They need something. They need to find a way to get the ball into the hands of the more explosive players. Bruce Arians is not going to fix this team by giving the ball a ton to Peyton Barber. That is not going to fix this team's problems. They need to get the dynamic guys involved. Arians is not stupid. So I sort of think Howard is going to turn around. Now, it may not be week three. It may take a little bit longer. There's a learning process that's going here for both Howard and Arians. You heard Arians calling him out. Arians isn't happy about what he's seen. Howard's probably a little down in the dumps. This may take another week or two to fix itself, but I do think ultimately it will fix itself. So if you're in a position to get Howard and wait it out, I think it's a great move. And I think right now you can get him at like 40% off. So I think it's absolutely something you should explore. Just be careful about how you do it and don't open yourself up to being on the hook, right? So like if I'm not in love with the tight end I'm playing and O.J. Howard, I can go get him and stash him and wait for him to start producing. I really like it. You know, maybe as part of a bigger trade, this stuff is always difficult to feather. You know, you get 20 buy low recommendations. Maybe you can find a way to incorporate one or two of them, because obviously sometimes they're on the wrong team in your league. Sometimes you don't have a need at the position. Sometimes the person who's got them is afraid to trade. There's all kinds of reasons why this stuff doesn't work out. We're just talking about who are some guys we can target and hope for good trade negotiations, good situations, whatever you want to call it. Okay, we're doing really well on time here. Definitely going to get you guys out of here under 30 minutes, which is nice. And again, just wanted to do this podcast. You know, I wanted to throw something out for the guys who are on top of things. And obviously, anybody can partake in some of these ideas. But this is easier to do when we're 2-0 or even 1-1, but we know our team is really killer. And obviously, a lot of this stuff, we can forward it ahead to next week. This is not something I'm going to do every single week. When I feel like I've got some energy and some time, I'll throw, a buy low, sell high kind of thing on a Wednesday. Today, we're focused more on buying low than selling high. Now, let's move over to quarterbacks. I think one guy I want to talk about is Baker Mayfield. Now, he looked terrible first week, and he looked pretty good against the Jets. Obviously, that's not hard to do. The touchdown was practically a gimme thanks to the Jets' douchebag defensive coordinator. No, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole again. I'm done. But Mayfield's got incredible assets. Right now, he is, he's got the feel in the market of sort of a fringe QB1. I think he's better than that. If you can get him on the cheap right now, I think you're going to get a nice player in return. So in two QB leagues, that could really be actionable information. Same kind of thing with Jared Goff. He's going to come back, no problem. Rodgers, I think Rodgers is a really good buy low right now. Some people are starting to talk about him like he's not a QB1. I really think their schedule is good. I think big games are coming from Rodgers. This is probably the time to act. Cam Newton could be head for a song right now. I think he probably gets his head on straight within the next couple weeks and ends up being really good. Mitch Trubisky is probably close to his owner paying you to take him off their hands right now. And you know what? Maybe this is the beginning for the end for Trubisky. Probably not, though. Probably they figure out how to get this thing back on track. You got a good coach. You got some surrounding talent. They need to get everybody back on the field and healthy. I think that's about to happen. So Trubisky right now, again, don't overpay. You should be able to get him for next to nothing. But I think particularly in Superflex, that makes some sense. And then Sam Darnold, again, in large leagues where QBs have some value, he's in the doldrums right now. This guy's probably going to be one of the better fantasy options out there over the second half of the season. I think he'll be fringe QB1. So, in leagues where you start two or it's a really deep league, I think Darnold really is a guy, if you can get him now on the cheap, I really think that starting around week 7, he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks out there. And when I say that, I mean sort of top half, on the verge of being a weekly start. So that's about it for the Buy Low Pod. Just a little special thing for you guys on a Wednesday. Going to be back tomorrow with lineup rankings for the quarterbacks, tight ends, running backs, and receivers. I'll get as much into that first posting as I can. But as I say to you guys every week, I do the rankings on Thursday really just, you know, as my way of trying to get the week going early and to help people who have lineup decisions for Thursday. The lineup rankings that you see for me on Saturday are generally much tighter, much better. I've had some actual time to get into it, to look at some of the underpinnings, some of the injuries. You know, it takes, I mean, when you're talking, you know, ranking 250 to 300 players, you don't just do that. You don't just eye it out and do it. You have to, you know, really get at some of the underpinnings, as I said. You know, which linemen are healthy on both sides of the ball? Are these quarterbacks healthy? Are the weapons healthy? You know, how does that affect running backs? There's all these little ripple effects, all these little things that affect the attached pieces. I don't generally have a real feel for the week until Friday afternoon. So just sort of understand that. The Thursday rankings are my attempt at getting some structure early to give you guys a loose kind of look at the upcoming week, because I know sometimes people have some tough Thursday decisions to make. If you are in that situation, always feel free to hit me on Twitter. The one thing I'd ask you guys to have some patience and understanding on, just so you know, asking me lineup questions on a Monday or a Tuesday, look, I'll generally give you an answer, but the truth of the matter is I'm not tight when it comes to my weekly ideas, weekly, you know, projections for individual players, and then looking at one player versus another. I'm going to be much better and much more trustworthy on Thursday, Friday, and really Saturday and Sunday. That's when I'm really going to be good at that. So unless there's a reason that you need to know early in the week, generally speaking, you're going to be better waiting a little bit. You'll get a better answer, just so you know. It's not that I mind, but I won't lie. On Monday and Tuesday, I'm in a waiver wire mindset. Wednesday, I'm transitioning from one week to the other. I'm finishing up on my film. And when I'm done with this podcast, I've got 3 games to watch. That's what I'm going to be doing. So I want you guys to know where I'm at a given point in the week. A lot of the guys on a lot of the websites have one job. They do waiver wire. They do the rankings. They do the start sits. I do the waiver wire and the rankings and the DFS and the start sits. So for me, there's some compartmentalization that I have to go through during the week. Otherwise, I just won't make it. Anyway, hopefully you guys understand that. So we're going to shut this thing down now. I'll be back with the rankings tomorrow. For those of you who've never given a rating to the podcast, whatever platform you're on, if you can just give an honest rating, how we're doing so far, it would really help. If you've got time to drop a sentence or two about the podcast, obviously that helps a ton as well. And like I've been saying, if Rotobon has helped you in the past or he's helping you this season and you feel like making a donation, it's always appreciated. I'd like to shout out to the 2 people who actually gave recurring donations last week. That was sort of cool to see. I didn't even know you could do that. Shows you how on top of things I am when it comes to monetization. But seriously, they were low donations. One was $1 a month, one was $2 a month. But guys, seriously, it was actually sort of cool to see. And again, I really like the notes you guys are leaving with the donations. I like reading. So thank you for that. If you have a moment to give us a rating, really appreciate it. And we'll see you guys. Next time I'm going to talk to you is Saturday morning on the DFS podcast. So giddy up, go out, make some deals, get those lineups ready for week 3, and let's keep kicking ass.